And it wasn't long until it just consumed the whole pile. And you know, that would burn for days. We would go over every day on the tractor and take a look at it and make sure everything was good and everything was in the right spot, and it was for the most part. See, in the 80s, we got modern. We got a burning barrel. We set that burning barrel beside the house. And we would go out and we would throw our garbage in the burning barrel. And you know, the exciting thing, anybody ever had a burning barrel knows what I'm fixing to say. The exciting thing about burning your garbage is you never knew what was in it. Somebody threw that aerosol can in there. And you would light that, it wouldn't be long, you'd hear a whistling and an explosion. Oh, sometimes it would get out. Something would blow up, it would come out, and it would catch the grass on fire, and it would start burning. Back a few years ago, I don't know if it was me or Charlie, I really don't remember. But the field between Charlie's house and Dad's house, I don't know how it caught a fire. Somebody was burning something, obviously, but I don't remember who it was. But we decided we could put it out. So I remember me and Charlie, and I don't know who else was out there. We was out here stomping and taking a shovel, trying to smother the fire out, and the wind started blowing, breathing all the smoke, and I give out. I said, this is getting out of control. Somebody said, call the fire department. I got to think about it. I am on the fire department. So I come uptown. I got the brush truck out of the shed down here and went out there, and we put water on it, and we put the fire out. I sure was proud when we put that last little fire out, because I could see it heading to the back of the field, just burning everything. You know, the more we fought that day, Charlie, seemed like the worse the fire got. To the point we were all exhausted. Said, we can't get this fire put out. Last few weeks, we've been talking about a fire. We've been talking about reigniting our passion for God. You think about the fire, you think about the pile, the brush pile, the burning barrel, or the field that caught a fire. We need in our lives, we need to be that fire that was going across that field. We need to be that the more we burn, the stronger we get. We need to be in our life that our love for God, our passion for God, is such that nothing can take us away from that. I've got this week and one more week, and I think that we'll finish this series of lessons. But today, as you think about your love for God, how much love do you have for God? What is it that puts our flame out? What is it that weakens our fire, our love, our passion for God? What comes between us and God? You know, Steve had a good class this morning. I want to encourage you, if you're not coming to Sunday school, you're not coming to Bible study, come an hour earlier and be a part of this Bible study. It's a good study, and I know that our children have good classes, and we have a good class in here. It's an adult class. Come 1 hour earlier and give it a try. Because in class this morning, we was talking about sin, and we was talking about the path, the road that we're going to take. And Steve brought out, or the scriptures actually brought out, Steve read it to us, that there's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate, and we have to choose which way we're going to go. And then we got to talking about sin and how that we judge sin. That we look at sin and we say, well, this is a little sin and this is a big sin. And we brought out the point that, well, the all sin has the same result. Doesn't matter which one it is, but all sin has the same result. And I brought out, and I don't know if anybody agreed with me or not, but I brought out the idea, the problem with sin is some things are not known. Now, it's still sin. I'm not saying it's not sin, but because I thought or I said something, I was alone or I left something undone, that's not a public sin. That hasn't brought reproach on the church. But the consequences of sin's the same, and it's the same for me. But now there's people that go out, and that's what Steve brought out. There's people that go out and willfully sin. There's a lifestyle that people live. Now, I'm not saying they're worse. Sin is sin. But what we get into here, when we're living that lifestyle, when we willfully sin and we've changed our life, you got the same result that my scenario had with me, but now you're influencing people as well. You may be influencing these over here. I may be doing it too. But people see a bigger picture over here, and people will follow you. And that sin leads people astray. Now, all sin can. But that public willfully going out and committing sin or living a lifestyle or living in sin draws people. So this morning, I want you to think about that for just a minute as we bring up two points, two things I want you to think about your passion for God. There's something that puts that fire out. An unconfessed sin. If your passion for God is not strong, and you don't feel the closeness, being near to God, think about your life and think about sin, because this is a big one. It's a big one when we live life and we have unconfessed sins. You know, there's few things that rob us of joy and confidence and passion more than guilt. When we have guilt in our heart, when we have guilt in our life, it robs us of the joy that's in this world. It robs us of the joy that we can have in living that Christian life because we're carrying it with us. Here's how it works. We don't walk around and we don't think, I have sin in my life. Probably not very many of us walk around and dwell on that all the time. What we do is we rationalize it. You know, whatever we have, we rationalize why we do it. Well, this is why I don't come on Wednesday night. This is why I drink. This is why I live this. This is why I speak this way. This is why I lie. This is why, whatever the sin is, we rationalize it in our minds saying, this is what causes me to do this. We don't say I have sin in my life. We, in some way, have justified the reason that we have that sin. And that robs us of the joy because we think it's okay because everyone's doing it. It's no big deal. Why should I worry about this? After all, look around. Let's see what everyone else is doing. And therefore, this is not as bad as that. You see where I'm going with this? We start in our minds saying, I can do this, and this is okay. But inside, when it's quiet and when we're thinking about it, and maybe right now, this morning, it's gnawing at us because somewhere inside us, we know that we have sin that we have not confessed. We have sin that we've not turned from. We have sin that we have not asked God to forgive us. And here's the truth about it. We cannot find enthusiasm or feel enthusiasm and guilt at the same time. I don't care how hard you try. You can't have guilt and enthusiasm at the same time. One thing that will kill our passion for God is unconfessed sin. What Noah read for us in Psalms 38, did you pay attention to it? Verse 4, for my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Then in verse 6, it says, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I am mourning all the day long. Has your computer ever crashed? Have you ever went into work or went into school or went in at home, wherever your computer is, and you have a busy day, a lot's going on, and you go in only to find out your computer don't work? It happened to me here a while back, and Keith and a lot of people worked on it. We've lost just about everything we had in our computer at work. And that was a bad day. Because you go in and you had your mind set on one thing. This is where I'm going. This is the information I need. This is what I need to get done. You know, we're that way. Humans are that way. When we carry the guilt in our life, guilt does that to us. We crash from overload. And that's what we're reading here in Psalms. The weight, the burden, it's over my head. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy to bear. People that carry that guilt with them has a hard time finding passion for God. God made us to deal with it immediately. Have you ever been mad at somebody? You ever had resentment towards somebody? That's my second point. My second point is an unresolved conflict. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, God, he is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. If we confess those sins, he's faithful to forgive us of those sins. And we're like that computer that I'm talking about. Maybe today you're in the midst of a personal problem. You're trying to keep your passion alive. You're trying to keep your love for God alive. But at the same time, it keeps crashing your system. It keeps crashing your love, your heart, your mind, your enthusiasm. So what do we do? What do we do when we're fighting that battle inside ourselves and we say, I want to have that love for God. I want to have that passion for God. You know, a few years ago, I was talking to someone who had called me on the phone, and I went to see this person, and when I went over there, they were struggling in their life. They were struggling to find a place for God in their life. And as I sat and talked to this person that day, they began to cry, wanting some answers. They wanted to have faith. They wanted to have love for God. And at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, it boiled down to this. This person was not willing to give up certain things in their life, and they knew ahead of time, Nick, that this does not tie in with God. And the battle that they were fighting, the burden that they had was inside themselves. I want this, but I want God too. And he knew they didn't go together. Kind of like a computer crashing. It gets overloaded. How do we build that passion for God? Well, I want to encourage you to do it. And to do it now. Don't wait. Confess those wrongs in your life. Take that burden off of you. Build that love. Build that passion for God. In a second, as I already said, the second point I wanted to mention this morning, one thing that kills our passion for God is unresolved conflict. Found an article. I want to read you a few things out of it. But the main idea of the article was this: conflict just drains the passion right out of you. You know, you can be on fire for something. Do you ever start your day think it's going to be a great day? You said today's going to be a wonderful day, only to get going somewhere down the road early in the morning and a conflict hits you. And when that conflict hits you, what happens? You go from a big smile on your face to dropping your head. Just not happy anymore. This article pointed out several things that we can do. One thing, he said, let's be honest about this. Let's be honest about conflicts in our life. He said some of you are in situations at home or at work where the conflict is constant. Maybe you're even doing all that you can to get out of this conflict, but it's coming from the other person. How do you keep your passion in the situation like that? You decide to protect yourself from these three things, is what this article pointed out. Now think about this. He called them passion-killing emotions that can come into your life and cause conflict. Because you can't control the other person, here's what you have to control about yourself. And here's the three words: resentment, control and make sure you don't have resentment toward someone, jealousy, and I like what he called the third one, instead of anger, he said prolonged anger. Because we all get angry from time to time, but if we want to keep our passion for God and we have conflict in our life that we can't control, then all we can do is control resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. You know, Job chapter 5 and verse 2 says, resentment destroys the fool and jealousy kills the simple. Job 18 and verse 4 says, you are only hurting yourself with anger. And here's the conclusion of this article. You make the decision when it comes to resentment and jealousy and prolonged anger to let it go. This is why forgiveness is so important. God, who knows us, who made us, who created us, knows that we can't carry resentment. So he says, here's the way to let it go. Even logically, we know that the resentment that we have in our lives is not hurting the person we're resentful against. They don't even know that you're resentful. It's hurting us. The anger is hurting us. If you want the passion to be restored in your heart, in your life, you have to forgive. You have to let go. I know some of you are saying this morning, let people off the hook. When we talk about conflict, it's a little different when it's me. It's a little different when it's you. We can tell people all day long, don't let it bother you. Oh, I'm not. How do we let someone off the hook? How do we let go of that? You know, David Bryan, I'm going to talk about him. He's not here. Steve said the same thing. No matter how long I live, if I keep my mind, I'll never forget David's sermon about those three boxes. I'm not telling you to let them off the hook. I'm telling you to put them on God's hook. You can't handle it. If someone wants conflict, you may not be able to stop it. But you can take it off your hook and put it on God's hook because you can't control it. And then you build your passion. You build your love for God and you be that example. God, I can't handle this, but you can. And you turn it over to God. There's nothing that we should want more in our life than to have the very best relationship that we can with our Father in heaven. It should be nothing that you would allow to come between you and God. It should be nothing that you should allow to push you away from God. But yet we all do. At some point in our life, something gets a hold of us and it hurts us, whether we want to call it passion, whether we want to call it our relationship, whatever you want to call it, at some point something comes between us and God because Satan's that way. Satan is that way that when he finds your weakness, that's when he loads you down and he's going to try to pull you away from God. This morning I want to encourage you with the song that we're about to sing and with the words that you've heard, to think about your life, think about your commitment to God, think about your love for God. How much do you love God? Do you love God enough that you're willing to sacrifice anything and everything for Him? He's not even asking you to do that. He's asking you to give your life to Him. Give your life to Him, which is a better life. We talked in class this morning about it being a harder life, but Steve, I think, brought it out. But it's a better life. It's a good life. Because when we're away from sin, we're away from evil, away from darkness, away from things that's going to hurt us or at least hurt our soul. This morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to turn away from your sins, repent of those sins, confess that Jesus is Lord? Then today you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're here this morning, you're carrying guilt in your life. You're carrying guilt with you. You've got conflict. You've got something in your life that's not allowing you to be close to God. Why not put that aside today? Why not come back to Jesus? Why not come back to God confessing that sin? Allow the same blood that washed your sins away when you became a Christian, allow that same blood to cleanse it once again. And leave here today in the right relationship with God. I can't think of a better day. I can't think of a better thing than knowing I'm right with God. If you need to respond, come while we stand and sing.